Revelation chapter 18. This evening we're looking at the destruction of Babylon. It's interesting to kind of think of this in terms that the Antichrist is little more than God's political tool to destroy the harlot. And we'll be moving on from this next week, so I've got to say everything I want to say tonight and repeat everything I want to repeat tonight. I am just amazed at how much material that we're given on this harlot, this whore. And she is really the consummation of all of man's energy to rule and govern himself apart from God. And she is going to succeed in the last days. And she is going to be incredibly successful. And we'll see that indicated by some of the text that we're looking at tonight. And I'm sure that God has recorded it for us in this way so that we can just understand a little bit about the predominance of this movement that's coming, the wickedness of it, God's hatred for it, and his destruction of it, those things. And it's good for us to remember that, because today as we begin to bump up against this harlot that's coming and see these just absolutely, both disgusting and incomprehensible things that happen. You know, this gender or transgender or whatever thing that's going on with restrooms today, I mean, how crazy is that? How crazy are a people that say we can't distinguish between man and woman? I mean, it's just crazy. And unfortunately, the field of science has added its weight to it and tried to find a way to make it acceptable and understandable, you know. They'll say, well, there's a gene missing or something like that. Folks, don't swallow that stuff when it comes along. It's just a bunch of foolishness. That's what Paul says is science, falsely so-called. Certainly, there are people that are absolutely confused about these matters, and I guess we should have some compassion for them. It's a growing thing among our teenagers and stuff like that. But we've lived in a world that has just absolutely rebelled against the common roles of man and woman. And so the old standards that were there that, you know, people could be raised under and trust are gone. And the world is just adrift on its own foolishness. And this Babylonianism is a part of that. So we're going to cover the 18th chapter tonight and the 50th chapter of Jeremiah and look at God's description of and destruction of this harlot. Let's pray before we do. Our Father, as we look at these portions of Scripture tonight, I pray that by your Spirit you would grant us the understanding that you'd have us to have. We understand that this is a thing that we will growingly understand as we go along. And Father, we pray that we'll be satisfied with that reality, realize that you will show us the truth as you have determined to do it in the time that you've determined to do it. And help us to accept that and just become more familiar with these texts and understand that as you tarry, you will make this truth more and more clear to us. Give us that confidence and help us to walk in it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Alan mentioned to me this morning on the way out, Pastor, you didn't talk about the seven hills. And I didn't. And I intentionally didn't do that, Alan. These descriptions and locations and stuff of things are difficult. Let's understand they're difficult, and I think they come under the influence, if I call it that, or understanding of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9. So if you hold your place there in Revelation 18, we're going to go over to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9 real quickly, where God has revealed so much to Daniel. And then he says this to him, and he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Isn't that an interesting thing? Here it is, clearly revealed in God's word, although in metaphorical and parabolic ways, even proverbial ways. And God chooses when we will understand that. And that's true with a lot of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them yet. But the Spirit of God, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will bring to your remembrance the things that I have taught you." So, understanding the Bible is a progressive thing for us as we study and grow into these things. And these seven hills, they are the seven kings, and it is also the place where this woman seems to abide. And many through the years have identified that as Rome. Rome is known as the city on seven hills. And that could be the seat of the coming Babylon. I doubt it, only because of what it says we read in Zechariah this morning, chapter 5, verse like 11 through 13 or 11 through 12, where it says that she is planted in the land of Shinar, which is clearly the land of Iraq today. So how all these things come together, I'm just persuaded that the tribulation saints will read the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and it'll be clear as crystal to them. And it needs to be for their sake, for their faith and their confidence as they walk through these terrible, terrible days. All right, that being said, come back with me then to the 18th chapter of Revelation. "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." I think the sense of that is that the occasion and the events that are going on are made clear to John through the light that is cast upon them by the glory of this angel. Verse 2, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." So it is going to be destroyed. This is something that the tribulation saints are going to see. And it is going to be a remarkable event as this kingdom of the Antichrist turns in its envy and jealousy and spite against this Babylonian empire and destroys it. And we'll read some more about that as we go along. But the cause for this is in verse 3, the cause for God's judgment against her. "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Now that's interesting, the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Folks, we see this again so often, and it's interesting to be preaching through this time when we're in such a heavily political period in the time of America. And we see the anger and wrath of so many groups against all that is good and godly and wholesome. They're just angry with us. And they're doing their best to align the power of government against the things of God. And there's where that fornication comes, as this harlot over here who's growing and developing and has such hatred against the things of God. And one of the places this is demonstrated probably as much as any place else is in the American university system. These educational university systems just hate the things of God. Now, that's not to say there's not some good professors within those ranks. But by and large, that thing as a whole is just a thing that hates the truth. And they are fornicating with the government in aligning themselves and using the government to impress and press their agenda against all that is wholesome and good and godly in our world. It says, all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Those kings who we understand from the scripture that it is God who places kings in position. All advancement and things like this comes from God, the Psalms tells us. And those kings are responsible to order those lands according to the moral and just dictates of God's word. It's an interesting thing that Pastor Weber is bringing to our attention, and it's helping me deal with some of this stuff. You know, he quoted two portions of Scripture, Psalm 113 and Psalm 24, that says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We've never had the privilege to govern the earth after our own dictates and after our own will. It's always been God's. It's to be governed according to His law and according to His word. They are responsible to do that. But these kings are committing fornication with this whore, this institution that's growing. Why are they doing that? Well, because she is going to be powerful and wealthy. Those two things. They've committed fornication with her. And then notice it says, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. There we see again stated that this particular organization is going to be incredibly wealthy. I made the statement a couple weeks ago that the time will come when she'll begin to spend her wealth like a drunken soldier. I think right now she is sitting on it. She is gaining it and she is sitting on it. And I talked to you about what's going on in areas, from my understanding, in areas like the Federal Reserve and stuff like that, where, folks, it's just obvious huge amounts of wealth are being consumed within our country alone, and maybe consumed isn't the right word, being hoarded away, and we have no idea where they are and what's going on. I just think of some simple things about how God has always cared for His people and always cared for the world and His richness and His abundance. And we live in a world that has such excellent medical facilities and all this kind of stuff, but yet somehow we can't find the money to take care of people. Why not? Why are we so restricted in these areas? And I bounce these ideas off others, and the ones who don't believe it, the only way they can answer it is with scorn. Nobody has ever said, well, now, Pastor Dave, this just isn't true. This is the way it's happening. I think you understand that if our economy grows by 2.5%, that means that your dollar bill grows in its purchasing value by 2.5% every year. But your dollar bill doesn't grow by 2.5%. The reason is they bring in 2.5% more into the economy by printing money. Where does all that money go? It goes someplace, folks. It's real. And the ones who print that are the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve are private corporations. And they print that money. Incidentally, Becky talked to me about it after this, after that Sunday I preached on this. Didn't you say that it costs like 3 2/10 cents to produce a $100 bill?
Yeah, the one in the 100 costs the same to make.
Yeah, one in 100 costs the same. So 3 cents to produce a bill. But they sell those bills to our government and to our banks at face value plus interest. So last year, our gross domestic product grew by nearly $18 trillion. I ask, where's that $18 trillion? Who has it? I think the whore has it. And that's just America. You know, things like that are going on in Great Britain, in China, in Japan, in Indonesia, in India. Those things are going on all over. And this thing is going to come together and it's going to be incredibly wealthy and it is going to be spending money like crazy. And the merchants of the earth are going to have a ball with this. You know, some of the most prosperous... Oh, I'm spending so much time on this. Some of the most prosperous merchants in our world are military contractors. Did you know that? Oh, my. Military. You know, when you can sell a toilet seat for $15,000, you know you've got a good program going. And... these merchants are going to be the people who are supplying this harlot as she builds her new city. And as you read some of these texts, you're going to find out it's not a singular city, but it's surrounded by other towns and stuff like that. There's going to be just a huge thing going on. Who is this military contractor that is out of Texas that former vice president was ahead of? Starts with an H. Halliburton. You ever read about Halliburton and all the money they make? Now, this is legitimate and right, okay, but it's a military contractor. But all of these tent cities over in Iraq and stuff like that, those are not military tents. Those are Halliburton tents. They go in and set them up. And our military pays for those establishments. Just millions and millions and millions of dollars. Well, the merchants of the earth are going to be making money hand over fist from this woman. Now, notice verse 4 then. What does the Lord say? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be my partakers with her sins, and yet you receive not of her plagues. That's the reason I asked Don to read Jude chapter 2 this morning. The false church, the apostate Christian church, is going to be identified with this. And quite frankly, folks, trying to figure out today what the apostate Christian church is a difficult thing to do. It's what I call this miserable continuum that goes all the way from what today are absolutely pure and genuine, faithful demonstrations of Christianity, all the way over to this side of those that are absolutely wicked and abased and profane, you know, that deny the scriptures, that deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that deny the standard of morality, but call themselves Christians. Somewhere in that continuum, folks, there is a line that is drawn. How close do you want to stand to that line? Wherefore come out from her and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a God unto you, and ye shall be my children. We ought not be looking to say, how near can I stand to that? But how near can I stand to my Savior? I was reading from John Phillips this last week, again in my preparation for that series that are coming up from the Gospel of John. And he made this observation. He said, unfortunately today, there are many within the Christian realm who are committed to the cause, but are not committed to Christ. Think of that. There are people who are just committed to the cause and they're busy and they're doing things, but they're not committed to Christ. It is so easy to get led astray in this particular thing. Well, let's go on in our text, verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. In the book of Romans chapter 12, the Lord cautions his people against vengeance. He says, take not vengeance for yourself, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Boy, the time is going to come when judgment is coming upon this woman. How much, verse 7, she hath glorified herself. And you ever notice how things glorify themselves today? You know? TV programs come on and promote themselves. The news things promote themselves. NBC, the local NBC station, has an ad that I just have to kind of chuckle about when they're talking about how good they are at reporting the news and how careful they are to report the news correctly. They're just patting themselves on the back and blowing up their own balloon. That's what this thing will do. Be a self-promoter. How much she hath glorified herself and how delicious and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. And it's interesting, folks, when the scriptures come along and make this observation, she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, I think we can understand that this is way out of line. Way out of line. So much torment and sorrow give to her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. She's going to feel so secure in her position. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And I'm relatively certain that is true. I think there's something here that is just very concrete and physical. She has the place of her institution, a city, and more towns around it. And it may seem like what went on up here in Canada a few weeks ago when that fire went roaring through and destroyed, what was that, a city of 18,000 folks? 80,000. Babylon will be destroyed in a day. Now, come with me with verse 9. It says, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her. Isn't that an interesting thing? There's going to be a division between the kingdoms of this earth who are self-governing and independent and operating, but yet they will have been committing fornication with this woman. They will have been aligned with her. It gives us a little bit more of an idea of what she is, as she's some kind of outside entity who has bewitched the kings of the earth. They've committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. You know, they have sold contracts to her and things like that, and there's been a lot of money that's gone under the table, as this has gone on. I think probably it looks a lot like Washington, D.C. And the kings of the earth who had committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." I learned very quickly when I worked in the shop that I could build good stuff, and I could paint it up so it looked real good and all of that, but if there wasn't somebody to buy it, it was nothing. And we got a buyer coming, folks. And when she's gone, those who supplied her are going to be singing the blues. Verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. These are the buildings and things that she builds and the supplies. It's the way she outfits her motel rooms, you know, with the finest linens. It's going to be the finest place. And there's going to be people all over the earth enriched by selling her stuff. And she's going to have so much money that she isn't going to be looking for bargain basement prices. And then foods, verse 13, cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts. You want to get a good steak? Go to Babylon. And sheep and horses and chariots. And get this, slaves and souls of men. There's something going to be happening at this last time where there's going to be slavery again, it looks like, doesn't it? I don't know how else to understand that. Verse 14, and the fruits of thy soul lusted after, the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Imagine, they'll be watching this on the 6 o'clock news and say, man, our market is gone. Saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And who has destroyed this city? The Antichrist. That kingdom of the Antichrist. We aren't going to have time tonight. We're not going to go there. You can read the 50th chapter of the book of Revelation of Jeremiah, which speaks of this. And you'll see that the kings of the north come in and destroy her. Verse 17, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And there you just see another part of the economy, you know, shipping and that kind of thing. I don't think it'll be just ships. It'll be truck drivers too, Janice. You know, they won't be buying any goods. Won't have to have them trucked up there. Verse 18, and they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. See, this is an indication also that I believe when we come up to these latter days, that economically we're going to get things in line. And the wealth of this world is going to be shared in a way it was never shared before. Only because there is so much of it. And it's one of the things that I think that we fail to understand, the great wealth of our land. It's a wealth that God has given to us. This is incredibly wealthy land. And when man puts his mind to it and works, he can just bring all kinds of wealth out of this land. But when they are not governed by good laws, it is a mess. And I think that's what we're having. Verse 20, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And why is that God has avenged her? Come back with me to chapter 17, verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. As she gets strong, she is going to turn her animosity against the people of God. And we know as we read through the book of Revelation, the amount of martyrs is countless, I believe, during this period of time. And those blessed people who are going to come to Christ after we're raptured out of here are going to have a very, very difficult time. And it just, I think the best illustration of it is what went on during Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, and how thousands upon thousands were so mercilessly killed by both the Roman and Anglican Church. Verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more in thee. Your boss won't have any gigs over in Babylon, Janice. It'll be all over. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more. Boy, those craftsmen, it's going to be the place, you know, you want a good job, go to Babylon. They're looking for paper hangers. They're looking for finished carpenters, you know. No more found in the sound of the millstone shall not be heard, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride shall be heard no more in thee. It's going to be a romantic city. That's where people will go to get married. I mean, it'll be a lot better than Reno or Las Vegas, a lot better than Paris. That's where they'll go, you know, to celebrate their honeymoon. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. That word sorceries is one that's been interesting. There's been a lot of comment on it through the years. I'm taking just a couple extra minutes from you tonight, but then we're going to be done, and that's good news. This word sorcery is a Greek word pharmakia. We get our word pharmaceuticals from it. And it seems to be maybe a hint or an indication that drugs will be something that will be very prevalent at this time. And by this were all the nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Here's a thing that I have to say to you, I know, but I don't understand, that God has been withholding judgment on a system and on people that is finally going to come over here, and it's going to come on Ralph and Harold and Sarah and Melanie and all of that. But what about all the Peters and James and all of that that went before that got away with it? I wonder about that. But God in his justice knows the time to do it, and he sees that group as a whole, and he brings judgment upon them all. Well, this is what things are coming to, folks. And let us understand that. And our obligation is to stand in the place of truth and be faithful to God in these days. And let us do that with grace and courage. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the way you care for us. And we thank you for what is revealed in your word. And that even today we can see things going to a place that will be like this. And Lord, our heart is broken, but you have showed us clearly that in the last days the world will be a hateful, apostate place that stands against you. And Lord, you do not reckon this as a failure of your people to represent you or govern appropriately. It is the way of man that has been understood and permitted by your will ever since the Garden of Eden. And Lord, if these be the days that come upon us, may we be those who stand faithfully, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.